You are in the power zone now with DU. DU's Power Zone.
The Power Zone with DU is dedicated to bringing you insightful communication and resources that will guide you further in making your personal and professional goals a reality. Through candid, stimulating, and essential conversations, we focus on the 9 universal goals of success, which include career, finances, education, family, arts, attitude, health and wellness, leisure, and public service. Based upon these goals, we provide you, the listener, with practical measures of advancement.
Good evening, family, and welcome to the Power Zone. Again, good evening, family, and welcome to the Power Zone. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, founder of Darlene's Utopia and author of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears as If You've Already Lost. And you are in the Power Zone with DU. Welcome. Get ready for an exciting show. As always, if you're logged on from your devices, we want you to tweet it out, get on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, tell your family, friends, network, colleagues, coworkers, everyone in your network to log on to the Power Zone with DU. We are bringing you insightful and resourceful information to help you elevate to your highest level of potential personally and professionally. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Darlene's Utopia, an empowerment-based company created to empower you through forums, great conversations, coaching, and social media networks. We're going to go out on a little break and share some more information about Darlene's Utopia. And when we return, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our special guests and invite them on the show for the evening. We'll be right back after this break.
Darlene's Utopia is a full-service consulting company created to empower, motivate, and provide resources for clients through coaching, speaking engagements, and events. Our goal is to help clients and event attendees reach their highest personal and professional potential. To learn more about Darlene's Utopia, log on to www.darlenesutopia.com.
Welcome back, family, to the Power Zone with DU. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, founder of Darlene's Utopia and author of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears as If You've Already Lost. And if you're returning from the break, then you heard a little bit about Darlene's Utopia. We invite you to log on to Facebook and follow us at Darlene's Utopia fan page, where you can get inspirational quotes every single day to help you on your way. So again, explore it, tweet it out, and share it. We are bringing you the very best features every day to ensure that you have a spectacular day. Now, a little bit about our guest. I'm excited. You guys know that we are following the 9 universal goals of success. So every week, we're bringing awesome, dynamic guests to speak to areas of career, finances, physical appearance, arts, community. I'm excited to say that tonight we're going to dive into a couple of different goals. So we have a little bit for everybody on the call this evening. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest. Alicia Goodridge is an entrepreneur and community leader with a passion for helping others develop and discover their personal path to success. Ms. Goodridge has over 20 years of experience within both corporate and social service environments. She has a bachelor's in business administration, a master's from Pratt Institute, and an MBA from the University of Phoenix. Her career highlights include customer and client relations, office operations, business and financial acumen, management and supervision. In her role with the successful nonprofit Determined to Educate, Inc. as Director of Operations, Ms. Goodrich works with youngsters, motivating and mentoring them to aim high and exposing them to a wider world of opportunities. Presently, she is the founder and CEO of Define Focus, Inc., a professional consulting group, and the current president of Brooklyn Clarendon Metal Lions Club. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I introduce to you Ms. Alicia Goodrich. Welcome to the call, Ms. Goodrich.
Thank you. Hello, hello. Good evening, Darlene and the DU family and the Zone. Thank you for this great opportunity to share everything that's going on with myself and just connect with my sister here, Darlene.
Oh, I'm honored. I'm honored. And you hit it. You hit it on the nail. We are sister friends, sister girl. It's been a long time. I'm excited. I remember when we were in the trenches going hard in snow blizzards.
Oh my goodness.
When we make it. And you know what, sis? We are here. We are at that moment. Family,
yes.
I've known Alicia for how many years now? I would say around 10.
At least, yeah. I was thinking it was about 10. At least 10.
Yeah, at least 10 years. I don't even remember the first. I do remember the first time we met. We actually met at a women's conference that I was doing.
Yeah,
downtown Brooklyn.
Downtown Stiletto and Tees. And I was
Stiletto and Tees. Correct, correct. Yep. That was around 10 years ago or so, and we just kicked it. Like, ever since then, it's been full speed ahead with entrepreneurship, as colleagues, as friends, as networks, and then a relationship, a friendship grew thereafter. So I'm honored. It's an honor to have you on the call this evening.
Thank you so much. Same here.
So let's talk. I know you, but the family doesn't. So we're going to give the family the very best of you so they can feel empowered and excited, the same as I'm feeling right now. So what have you been up to? Well, let's talk about who Alicia is first, because we like to hear about who our guests are, especially when they're from Brooklyn. Now, it's just by coincidence. It's coincidence that, because I have some callers that aren't from Brooklyn, so I'm just putting it out there. It's just coincidence that you are a Brooklynite, just the same, correct?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So let's just speak about who Alicia is. Like, where were you raised in Brooklyn exactly? The choices that you made as far as your education, because you have a very extensive background academically. And I really want to speak to that before we start talking about the entrepreneur.
Definitely, definitely. Well, it all leads up to it. I have to say, being a child of a Caribbean heritage mixed with Southern heritage, it gave me great grounding. So young woman growing up in East Flatbush, Brooklyn, going to James Madison High School, and just making my way through the trenches of being a private school girl. I don't know if you knew that. From first through eighth grade, private school, and ninth grade, decided I want to go to public school. And I think it couldn't have been a better choice, because James Madison High School gave me the grounding for, I want to say, just a little bit of everything. Allowed me to culturally be amongst all races, because my school was predominantly African American and Caribbean descent. But outside of that, my mom had, you know, has friends of all races, so it wasn't that. But it allowed me to be in a daily presence of teachers and activities, and allowed me to travel, so I was able to see the world at a young age. I was involved in business and law program in high school, a part of the Sing program. I was a booster captain. I started the African Heritage Club. I was the first founder president. So what you know from me now, I've always been this way. I just kind of grew up in that aspect. My mom, a community leader, PTA president. So I was always in a meeting. I was, you know, I know what it is to hear people battle, and I'm in the back doing my homework, and I'm at the end of the meeting on the way home telling mom, well, Miss So and So, she shouldn't have said this, and you know, I had my analysis early.
And that is something, it comes second nature to you. And family, you know, you have to see her in action, in meetings, facilitating meetings, working rooms. It comes like it's innate in you. It's just what you do with your eyes closed without even trying. And I guess that does come from mom, because I actually do know mom, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It really doesn't. You are your mother's child through and through. So I definitely understand. And it's good conditioning. It's awesome conditioning, because there are some parents that don't expose their children to those things at young ages. So that's awesome.
Yes. And I have to say, with that exposure, also learning business acumen and being in a business setting, I would go during the summer and work with my mom in her office, organizing, fixing invoices, doing a little bit of that. So I knew what pay was early. You work, you get paid. You know, back then McDonald's was it. So I was happy with taking my little pay, going to McDonald's, and my mom worked in the fashion industry. So my sense of fashion came from that aspect. Then the other piece, my dad was a chef. He was a cook. He worked in restaurants and nursing home at the end of his career as a chef. So I was always around food. He ran a restaurant, and then we had our own outside family catering business. So there was always his little, I was always doing something. So we, you know, was a server. I had my first bad customer service experience doing a wedding in a brownstone and learning how to deal with someone with a bad attitude, and the groom snapped his fingers in the air as if we were he was on a television show. I said, this man done lost his mind. I was about 13 years old, and my mother had to, I just walked over to her, you know, my eyes are big. I looked at her, I said, mommy, I got a baby. So you just, you know, I can remember some of those experiences. It's like it is what makes me. And I thank God for those experiences, because, you know, if I wasn't brought up a certain way or been exposed to certain things from a young age, you know, all those situations could have happened a little bit differently. It kind of prepared me for what was coming next. And in college, went away for a year and a half to learn to be independent, because I was what you would call a sheltered child. I was not, my sister and I were not outside, and they call us the window girls. I'm all right being a window girl, because I turn out too bad. But I grew up on a main street, Nostrand Avenue.
And a window girl, sorry, just for our listeners, a window girl is when, and you let me know if I'm wrong or if we need to add something to it. You live a totally structured life. So there is no go outside when you want to. It's a certain time, and usually you're not outside throughout the week, maybe on the weekend. But for the most part, you are going to school and coming home and looking out the window at your friends playing, because you have structured activities in your house, correct?
Part of that, but I also grew up on Ocean Avenue, which was a little off the hook. And we were not allowed to play in front of the building. It was not all that stuff going on. So they were structured, because we were busy with the youth council, dance class, piano lessons, you know, after school programs. But also, there was still free time, because we always found free time. But there was no coming in when the lights went off. I was already inside the house.
And there was nothing wrong with that. That's a beautiful thing. Look at the
clock. Yeah, and it's funny. I didn't know that's what they called us until we were older. And some of the guys from the blog was like, you know, we used to call y'all the window girls. I'm like, really? And like, y'all never came outside. Had no idea. For me, it is what it is. When I went, up the block, not too far, my godparents' house on Martin, they had a backyard, we had a front yard, that was fine. Williamsburg was some of my where I grew up, which was a high, you know, large Hasidic population, African-American and Hispanic. We all played together, and there was a common ground by my grandmother's house. So it was just, my parents has made a safe haven for us anywhere they can, trying to raise girl children. You already know how that goes.
So just to ask, because I want to get everything in, what after graduation, so you decide that you're going to major in business administration based on your upbringing?
Yes, I also had a curiosity, and I will say it was a curiosity because it fizzled really quickly. I wanted to become a lawyer. So in my high school years, myself and, you know, one of my best friends, Sahara, we taught law for fifth graders. We did mock trials. And by the time I got to college, I changed my mind and said, that's a lot of schooling. I don't know if I want to do that. And the Lord has got a lot. Like, that was my reasoning at that age. Mind you, I did everything possible. But my parents didn't pressure me to say, oh, you know, you got to be this. Because, you know, back in the day, we want you to be a doctor. We want you to be this. Whatever you want to do, we want you to be happy in whatever it is. And I decided to just go straight into liberal arts and then business and just focus straight on business and made that my path. And I kind of diverted but came back and went away for a year and a half and came home, attended CUNY, Mega Evers College. And that was a great experience because where can you go to school at night, work during the day, and get in a class with someone that could be twice your age? Kids are outside doing homework, and it was not a game. And we had some of the strictest teachers out, and they did not want any excuses. Yeah, we know you have just a life, but you have school too, and you're not going
to
be late.
I was used to that's how when I went to college. When I went to LIU, most of my fellow classmates were much older than I was. I remember a man in my college class that was like 60 years old working on his second profession. 60 years old, had retired and decided to come back to school to work on his second career. So that's, and they don't have that anymore. So that's good stuff, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. Even today, the way students take school, it's quite different from how we were taking our classes then. The seriousness, the intensity of it is quite different.
Yeah, it's definitely been a shift, I have to say. Back then, you were thinking, oh, go to school, get your degree, get a job. No, get a job, go to school, and you work it out. I felt this need for independence. I wanted to help my parents, so... You know, I knew that I had to come home, and literally, I came back home from school, started temping 2 days after they made my 19th birthday, and I never stopped. I have not stopped working until my first layoff. So I worked straight for like 14 years in corporate America. Went to school at night, as in my associate's, my bachelor's, and both of my master's, all at night, while working a full-time job, running a full-fledged staff, 24-hour operation with a staff of about 12 people at one point. So, you just learn to do it. And I went into that profession. I was a corporate librarian. Now, if you meet me, you a librarian, you're talkative, you're outgoing. I didn't look like an average librarian. But
don't fit the status quo. When you cannot judge Alicia just by looking. You can't. It's more than meets the eye. But that's the beauty of it. Let's talk about the transition a little bit. What led to you ultimately leaving corporate and pursuing entrepreneurship?
Wow. Let's see. Oh, I think I always had the bug. And always wanted to do something else. But, you know, having that dedication, the one-track mind of, you know, work, and then I was, of course, always in school, I was a forever student. And I got my MBA, that second master's, because I wanted to open a home for girls with my other best friend, Sharice. So we went in it, saying, okay, we need to have these degrees because in order to be a part of the corporate structure, this person has to have this. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get my MBA. You get your MS, and that's how it started. So I didn't plan one day and wake up and say, oh, I'm gonna go get my MBA. It was one of those. It was a necessity, and it ended up working out for me in the long run. So I worked for 14 years for an investment bank. And this was amongst the age of banks merging and eating each other up. And the world of the bright idea of outsourcing. Now, outsourcing has its good and its bad. My job and information changed. And they outsourced my work and a lot of jobs to India. just like your call centers and all these things, you hear somebody named Bob, you clearly know his name is not Bob. And it was one of those things where I knew I had the Ally McBeal, moment in a town hall meeting with the former CEO, and someone asked me, will anyone lose their job in this transition? Because we were about to go public at that time. And he said, no, no jobs will be lost. There will be no attrition. And in my head, it was like, you're right. Get ready, Alicia. And that was the moment, like, boom, I knew stuff was about to change. But being this young person, I was not one going to the parties in Daytona and spring break. I was on Wall Street. So when I got that break, the 2 days after being laid off after 14 years, I was on a plane to the Bahamas with my mama and my cousin. And I said, I'm just going to lay out on a beach. Didn't realize, knew nothing about unemployment, and within 6 months, I had to go find a job. and that's when it was like, okay, you need to start doing stuff. So I started doing crazy stuff. I did a commercial. I auditioned to do a show. I did all everything you could think of. I did it because I did not have that. I would guess you would call, quote unquote, fun time in the 20s. So I was like, I'm going to do it now. And I did that. End up getting temping again and getting hired. That's just my luck.
And going back into corporate.
It went back into corporate. In law for about 6 months. And that's when the next big bank called me out the blue for a job. And I was there for 7 years. In that time, though, I was not happy. Now, you know when you're in that uncomfortable zone. And I did not know what I was fighting, but I knew that that was not it for me. This can't be it. That's what I kept saying every day, because they didn't know what to do with me, but they hired me, and it was like, it was slow to train me, and it was just like this tug of war. And in my spirit, it was like, what am I doing here? I literally cried for almost 3 months at my desk. So I remember one of my coworkers would come to my desk, she's like, what's wrong, Alicia? I was like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know if this is right. But I was fighting something that I didn't realize what it was, that there was more for me to do.
And that's around the time that we actually met, at the tail end of that, when you were preparing to leave. And Stanley, you know, we've been on the call, and I believe it was Tony Coleman Brown that was speaking about exit plans. And at that moment, I remember speaking to Alicia, and what you kept saying every day, because we were both going through a transition. And I remember talking to you, and you were saying, something's coming. Something's coming, and I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for it. Like, Alicia's desk was cleaned out long before anybody said it was time for her to go. She was just coming in every day just to keep time. And when it happened, you was prepared for it. And at that time, you had also been doing network marketing, correct?
Yes. So I got the bug maybe in year one of this new company, and that's how Darlene and I ended up meeting. And I was a vendor at one of her events. A good friend of ours, mutual friend, told me about her and said, oh, you know, you should do a table. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, that's when I realized that I needed a plan A, B, and I just went crazy. So I was just looking. In the midst of that, I met people like Darlene and so many other great people I've met in this walk that, you know, we created relationships. We just helped empower each other and created a mini network. So there's, like, you go to a Darlene Utopia event, I'm seeing people, like, they're, like, the last making a moguls. I'm like, look at the mind. I know her. I knew the whole room. And it's like, wow, just like what you said at the beginning of this call, look what we have come. You know, Renee, seeing Tony. I met Tony with sole purpose. We're in the house with a CEO. So, I started to dip and dabble in different companies. I met some great people. So, I never saw those my interest and my investment in those companies as mistakes, because they're connecting me to some great people that have long-standing relationships like the one I have with you, Darlene. So I appreciate all those steps to get me to where I am and developing me, my character, learning how to work with people, strengthening my people skills, my presentation skills. Oh, my goodness.
Correct.
I got and that beauty in my to it. Yeah. I got that through my entrepreneurial efforts. I've always had, never had a problem. I can talk to a dog. A room full of dogs, talk to them. But it definitely was strengthened when I started doing presentations when I with my first initial company, which was Artist. Now, I don't know if you know, I've been Mary Kay at the age of 19.
Did you know that?
It's definitely not surprising. Yeah. I didn't know, but it's not surprising.
I
have to tell you, my listeners, I have to let you know, Alisa is Mrs. Mogul to the 100th power, times infinity. Alisa will sell as many states of paint off of a wall. She will work a room. I always tell the story of when it's go time, when we do a show and it's go, it doesn't matter what's going on, go. And I always tell this story. You guys ready? Like, I had on to it. It was amazing. What's it called? The Conversation Series. I used to do the Conversation Series, and you all can check this out on YouTube. We have the Conversation Series, and they're interactive conversations with men and women. Come together, we discuss the many attributes of maintaining healthy relationships. And Ms. Goodwidge was actually a very intricate support for me in the making of Mobile. We've done 14, and Alisa's been there for practically more than half, pretty much three quarters of the series thus far. And I remember needing a pair of shoes and asking Alisa to bring a pair of shoes for me, because the shoes that I had, I don't even remember why, but they didn't work. And the shoes came. She came with the shoes, and I'm excited, and I'm 5'10". Don't judge me, family. Don't judge me. So Alisa has this shoe, and it's a beautiful shoe, but I'm like, Alisa, this shoe looks like a 5'7". And I'm a 5'10". And she looked at me. I never will forget this moment, because I felt like I was about to go on Rip the Runway, and I had just been read by the designer that's like, you want to put this on and pull it in and go. She looked at me in my eyes, and she said, you will wear this shoe and like it. You're going to wear it. Put it on, and that's that. And I said, well, my foot's going to hurt. And she said, it doesn't matter where the shoe, the show must go on. And I put the shoe on, and Jesus Christ, for the remainder of the day, I did not feel, my toes became numb. But it was in that moment that I realized how serious it was. And it's a joke. We laugh about it today, but there is so much that goes into being a business person, down to your appearance, how you talk, how you walk, networking. And I respect her for that, because she is so serious about business, where you have to rise to the occasion when you're in her presence. So I thank you, because as I have created a space like DU for you to come and network and share, you have definitely helped me in our production to get to where we're at right now. I thank you for that. And I share that story. So we actually are going to go out for what we call the song of the show, and then we're going to come back a little bit, and we're going to speak to the social activists. We're going to speak to determined to educate. We're going to get down to the meat and potatoes of the community work that you do, as well as providing financial services to entrepreneurs and individuals, personal individuals that are looking to rectify their credit, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. So let's talk about the song of the show. My producers told me what it was, so tell the listeners a little bit about your favorite song. What motivates you and why?
Well, lately, the song that motivates me is an oldie but goodie. It's Shalamar, Second Time Around. And it's because, you know, thank goodness that we wake up every day and we have a chance to start all over again. And many people, especially entrepreneurs, if you are a right-minded entrepreneur and you know that there is something out there for you to do, that even if that first time you attempt it, the second time around, it is going to happen for you. And that happened to me, being laid off twice from corporate America. And the second time, I said, okay, I have to do something different. That when I go back in, yes, if I do go back in, this time around is going to be on my playing field and create my own path and really move from behind the supporting line, which I've always done and I have no problem doing, because you have to be a servant leader in order to be a leader. It allowed me, it makes me think of, okay, this is your turn. It's always sweeter the second time.
I love it, and that's one of my favorites as well. The producer's smiling. I think that's one of his favorites, just the same. So we're going to go out with Second Time Around by Shalamar, and we'll be right back after this break.
Professional painting services at an affordable price? If so, consider painting to be a blessing for your painting needs in your home or business space. Contact Painting to Be a Blessing at 646-500-9838 or follow them online at paintingtobeablessing.com. Again, that's paintingtobeablessing.com for all your professional painting needs at an affordable price.
Welcome back, family. You are in the Power Zone with DU. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, founder of Darlene's Utopia and author of not without a fight, 10 ways to win when it appears as if you've already lost. And we are here with our very special guest, Miss Alicia Goodridge. Alicia, welcome back to the call.
Thank you, thank you. And hello, Do You family. How are you out there?
Very well, family, very well. Tweet it out. Please share information about the Power Zone with DU. As I said when I came on the show, we want you to tweet it, Facebook it, Instagram it, LinkedIn it. Get it in. Let everybody know to log on to the Power Zone every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. We are bringing you live interactive conversation and also conversation that you can share thereafter. We are always here for you. Now, Alicia, when we left off on the break, well, before we left off on the break, we were actually speaking to some of your community work. So I wanted to pick right up from there. I'm excited about Determined to Educate. I got an opportunity to come out to one of your annuals a couple of years back. I want to speak about it. I know you guys just had Felicia Rashad last year, correct?
Now we're in 2015, so two years ago, that was the year of the Phenomenal Woman, and we honored Felicia Rashad amongst some other great individuals in entertainment and business. And Determined to Educate is a 501c. Once again, it's an organization that I found out about through one of my businesses. I was networking at a wine tasting event, a young lady. We were talking. She was telling me about her movements and what she's doing with fighting sickle cell. And I gave her my information. And next 2 days, she calls me. She said, I have somebody I want you to meet. They need something for their gala. Sure. Now, my friend, now friend and sister, Cindy Ba, she's the founder of Determined Educate. She invited me to come meet her at lunch. So we both took our lunch break. We're talking, and I immediately fell in love with the cause and the movement. A part of me, my makeup has always been service. My family's been a family that would go and we would cook a big meal and portion it out and go over to the armory and feed all the men. And I'm talking about in the 80s, in late 80s, early 90s, before it was trendy to do. I've always worked with the Community Youth Council, so me mentoring and helping the community and giving back it's in my DNA. So when I decided, sitting with her, I said, you know, I want to come to the event. And she said, oh my gosh, well, yes, for sure. Wrote her a check, paid for my ticket. Literally that led into me, she called me a couple days later. She said she loved my spirit and she wanted me to actually shadow and kind of assist one of our mentors in the organization, the beautiful Susan Taylor, former editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine. Mm-hmm. Now, who would turn that down to escort Susan Taylor?
Exactly.
I had no problem. I will be
there. And I want to say, Alicia, I just want to point out, and this is for some of our listeners on the call, never be too high to not provide service.
That's
and
right.
Sometimes service will be, even for myself, I was called on by a girlfriend to stand there and escort the VIP people that got out of the limousine from point A to point B of a conference with Lucinda Cross, the Activate conference. Many of us know Lucinda. A couple of years back, I was asked, can you please escort them? And I did it without even thinking about it because there is greatness in service. Greatness
right.
in service. So much has came out of that. Alicia is now the director of operations from Determined to Educate, but she didn't start out that way. And I have to acknowledge that. So congratulations, Beth.
Thank you so much. So, I mean, you covered it in a nutshell. I went from volunteering that 1 year and the day after that first gala I attended, Susan Taylor called Cindy up and said, whoever that woman you had with me, don't let go of her. And we have been inseparable ever since. We've traveled, oh my gosh, the people that have come out and shared and spoke to our and empowered our young people. We work with Eagle Academy for Young Men in all the boroughs and New Jersey. We also work with the Job Corps in Brooklyn, Bronx, and Edison, which is a huge campus. We recently had Joe, the R&B singer, come and speak to the kids of the Child Bronx Job Corps. We've had NBA players. We've had, I mean, you name it. We even went out to Philadelphia and Gamble, the man that's wrote all the songs from practically all of Motown, has a charter school in Philadelphia, and we brought out DMC from Run DMC to go speak to those young people, and that created some great dialogue, and he wants us to do some more work with them. So there is something about connecting the young people, and that is one of the things that we do, is bridging the intergenerational gap. You could be great at what you do, but if you're not giving back in one way or another, you have definitely missed everything that is there is about life. Because if I didn't have people that spoke to me, and, you know, in their own way were mentoring me in the financial world, in, you know, in my volunteer work, I wouldn't be where I am now. Even if it's a small thing, is, you know, be careful doing such and such, or, you know, those, it's some little things, you know, make sure. I didn't even know, you know, back in the 90s on Wall Street, before they got heavy with even sexual harassment, that certain things that brokers were doing on the trading floor, that was sexual harassment. I had no idea. You know, it's like little things, and then you get that older woman that worked on the floor, or she was an assistant to some big guy, and pull you aside and be like, watch out for so-and-so, or give you that little head. It's those little things. I know you have a number of people in your life like that, Darlene. So I think I thank God for all those angels in my walk. Some I still am in contact with, and I always remember little anecdotes and little things that came about. I mean, even down to my crazy former boss and all her craziness, you know, besides learning Yiddish, I also learned a lot from her. And I was watching something with Wayne Dyer, who's a great, great motivational speaker, and he talked about his relationship with his dad, which he really didn't have one, but he learned his greatest gifts from the lack of his dad. So we have to take everything that we see outward and make that a lesson in one way or another, because that's correct. What this life is all about. It's about correct. Learning in the steps. And in the community, you get to meet people. You know how many people I've met that, you know, lost everything, and we, you know, determined to educate the young kids. We had a woman, she was in her late 20s. She was the mother of six. And she came to hear Susan Taylor speak. We had her come out. And Susan was very transparent about her life. And the cubs.
She's awesome. I'm sure some of our listeners can attest to that. Susan Taylor is a phenomenal woman.
Oh, Yasser Shabazz, one of Malcolm X's daughters. She had that room in tears. The young girls were just coming and hugging her. To understand that you lost your father at this age, you're able to stand here and talk to us about being a better woman, about encouraging us in our next steps in life. So I learned, even though they're empowering these young people, I'm there taking my notes, I'm laughing, I'm crying with them, because guess what? There's always a lesson. I will always say a lesson in everything, good and bad situations. So Determined to Educate is definitely close to my heart. Also, Lions Club International. I'm the president of Cloud and Meadows Lions Club here in Brooklyn, New York. And we also donate our time. Our motto is that we serve. There's no initiate. There's nothing else about it. And we're all over the world. It's an internationally known organization. Right now, with the crisis in Nepal.
And I will say, can you just repeat exactly what your club is? Is that Clarendon Brooklyn Lions Club?
It's Brooklyn Clarendon Meadows Lions Club. And we're also on Facebook as well. Full-service organization from the ages of, I think, 19 and up. We still have a charter member from who started our club. I love her dearly. Lion Mary Hobson, and she's still going. She keeps us going. So the club, my mom, of course, following her footsteps, was a part of that that founding group. But our service,
Mama Goodrich is in the house. You see her? Your mother is a ham. I love her.
And she actually turned into a mentor. You know, I take her with me, and people, they before they see me, where is mommy?
Yeah, because she comes out to Determined to Educate with you. I've seen her at Determined to Educate, the annual. Yeah, your mother is definitely, she is an icon in the community. With all of that greatness, what else to do but mentor and give it? And she pours into the youth. I admire that about her. Not just the youth, but your mother is an educator around the way, because even her peers look to her in leadership still to this day. So yes. It's just not the mentorship, but it's also, you know, the leadership in her community just the same.
Definitely, definitely. And she doesn't know how to take that hat off. So I leave her, let her be. Her door still gets a buzz from neighbors having her look at their leases. I mean, I have seen some things go on. But I have to say, with the Lions Club, you know, we've adopted a school locally, Pastor 99, which is also near and dear to my heart. My mom was the PTA president there. So I've always been, you know, just in the mix. And we've adopted that school when they have family day, if they need something. Our book bag drive is there. When we did our last coat drive, it was right there. We had another coat drive for the community, but we did one especially for the school and community. There are so many shelters that are opened now within the last 2 or 3 years, and they can't turn these families and kids away. So we have to be able to service them in one way or another.
Yes.
And which is huge. So the coat drives, the book bag drives, every Thanksgiving we come together and bring all of the items for a Thanksgiving meal and give it to families, from the turkey down to the stovetop stuffing. and those are the little things that we do, and just to make a little difference in someone's home, in their lives. And literally, if we all did a little bit in our area, help 4 or 5 people here, or in a 5 block radius, I'll make it even short. I would say 5 miles, but 5 blocks. If we all did that, we would be able to help the fellow man so much greater than we are right now. I find that it's very, there is a selfishness that happens. It's not until everything hits the fan for a person, they realize, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that there were so many people that out there that are willing to help me. So I think, I really appreciate community. I am community. And I always push, if you're an entrepreneur, you're in business, you make sure you give back. And I'm not just talking about a check to the UNCF or a check to, you know, close to the Salvation Army. Get out there, roll up your sleeves, and see what's going on out there, and expose your children to it. Because your children are watching TV, they're on the internet, but when they see the real world, and they're serving on a soup kitchen line, and feeding somebody that could be their grandparent, and they're homeless, and they realize, oh my goodness, this is real. That's when life really comes full frontal for them, and they understand they have to be grateful for what they have. So,
correct.
There's so much. I told a joke to you before we got on the call that we could have more than one call with just topics of things that we both do and what we're involved in, because your work in the community is huge as well, Darlene. So, you know, it doesn't stop. I don't intend to stop. And watching my mom, she has it, so I have to
keep going. You have to pay it forward, and the next generation will pay it forward just the same. Like, I'm listening to you and I'm smiling, because even my mini me, she goes out and she does community work. I remember when my daughter brought a friend home. She has been doing a lot of work in Lower Manhattan, working with the homeless youth on the in the soup kitchens, working with them, giving out clothes. And this is just something that she wanted to do to volunteer her time. But prior to that, like you're saying, we had exposed her. I had exposed her at a younger age to coming out on Thanksgiving Day. We're not going to sit here. We're not going to eat. You'll eat later on. Let's get up. Let's go to such and such community center where the homeless people are going to be coming in, and we're going to be feeding them. We're going to entertain them. We're going to do things. You're going to see how other people less fortunate than you live. And that's something that we've done. You know, I've done with her from a very young age. And I remember her a couple of years ago. It couldn't have been more than 4 years ago. bringing someone home. And it had been someone that she befriended and working in the soup kitchen. And I said, you know, what are you doing? Now I'm going into parent mode. I'm like, how are you bringing somebody home? What are we going to do? Where are we going to keep them? Are you serious? Like, why couldn't you refer them? And she looked at me. She said, Ma, I've known her for months. And at this point tonight, she has nowhere to go. She looked at me and she said, I'm only doing what you taught me. So I would hope, and I think I remember it, and she said, I would hope that she would allow for her to stay this evening and you would treat her as if you would treat any of your other clients. And at that time, I had been in social services, and that was one of the most proud parent, profound moments that I could ever have had with her to date. And I said, you know what, Jasmine, you're right. I'm going to go and prepare dinner. And it made me feel so good that I had instilled in her what service was and really given back. Like you said, it is more than writing a check. And I'm not saying that to tell everyone to open up your home, but you have to do more than the norm to make a change. You have to do more than the norm. So thank you for sharing that, sis. That is awesome. Mom is awesome. Determined to educate is awesome. I've met Cindy. Cindy's another mogul. She's a powerhouse. Cindy works a room. She is not just the founder of her organization and the president. Cindy works a room. I remember seeing her in the back room doing something, and then when you all went into performance, she jumped into a moment and she ran on stage and started dancing and singing. So you come and you really get to see an awesome show with the people that are making this organization possible. They're changing the lives of young people. So congratulations to you all for Determined to Educate and the Lions Club. Please give our listeners the website for the Lions Club. Now, it's DeterminedEducate.com, correct?
Correct. And the Lions Club, since we're an international organization, we have our own Facebook page, but we don't have an actual website as of yet. We're building that. But if you go to Brooklyn Clarion Meadows Lions on Facebook, we have a page, and you'll see all our upcoming events. This week we are working with Cinderella's Wish List, and we'll be volunteering and having collecting dresses for the prom and suits and accessories and shoes. So we are continuing to help the community. There's a lot of young people out there that want to go to the prom, eighth graders from junior high and up, and they don't have the money. Prom season is very expensive, and you know, if you're on a tight budget, definitely reach out to Cinderella's Wish List and try to reserve a space. Last year, they said they had 300 people show up for prom wear. So yes, we're going to be there helping them out. So my, one of my mottos is definitely going forward. I had made it just last year, the theme for us is the spirit of collaboration. And, you know, one man is on an island. They cannot do everything by themselves. So that is why we definitely work with other organizations like the one I just mentioned and other clubs. Even down to my family reunion group, my Lions Club has worked with. We've done events together. So there's strength in numbers, and there's a power behind it. So if there's anything you take away from this call tonight, it's to get out there and to get active. And you can do it right in your own backyard first, in your own family and circle of friends, and then let that become contagious. Let that spread. So
thank you so very much for that. Now, can they donate dresses as well? Like, they can come and receive, but they can also donate, because I know some of our listeners, even if not you all, maybe you know someone who has some dresses that they're not using. They've been sitting there for 5, 6, 10 years. Can they donate these dresses to the cause?
Yes, they can. There are drop-off locations. If you go to my the Facebook page for the Brooklyn Crowd and Meadows Lions Club or Cinderella's Wish List, you can get that information as well. There's a couple of stores in Brooklyn, and if need be, they can inbox us, and we can they could pick up or they could deliver. One of my coworkers actually had their mom send their bridesmaid dress they wore about 2 or 3 years ago from Boston. So people are mailing dresses. It's turning into a great event. We're doing shoes and accessories, and they've added young men as well. So that's going to be huge. An event on Saturday, May 2nd, is going to be held at Tropical Reflections Ballroom. But you have to register in order to be counted in. They want to make sure they have enough for everyone. So it's going to be a great event. So definitely inbox us or reach out to Cinderella's wish list, and they will take care of you. And hopefully thereafter. And there's another organization that I know of as well for Open Doors that just did theirs on Saturday. So if one can't service you, there'll be another, because prom season is upon us and the time is ticking and money is spending. So let's make some young people happy.
Thank you. And listeners, you can also log on, as we shared last week on the call, Utopia Network. You can log on to Utopia Network on Facebook, and we actually have Cinderella's wish list on our page. If you're logged on right now and you're already a fan of the page, you can find it there as well. So you can go to Utopia Network, which is our affiliated community-based organization, and there you will find Cinderella's wish list just the same. So we're going to push this as much as possible to ensure everyone is out or donating accordingly to the cause. Now, time passes so quickly, Alicia. I definitely wanted to speak to thecreditgirls.com. We've been covering a lot. We've been talking about community, entrepreneurship, but I definitely want to get finances in a little bit. Please share some information about thecreditgirls.com.
Definitely. Thank you so much for mentioning that. We get excited about community, but we need our finances in order, right? So I partnered, myself and a number of people I know partnered with a company called Financial Education Services. And it made me realize what was missing, the missing part, even for an entrepreneur, about financial literacy. So it's not just about credit restoration repair, because a lot of people know us for that. But it's about the overall makeup of how, what our relationship with money, are we literate in the finance department, and being able to cover ourselves as an individual and for our home and our families. So basically, you know, millions of Americans are out there with low credit scores and they can't get approved for houses, cars, you name it. I was just speaking to a prospective client today, and she said her car's a hoopty and she's paying over $300 a month for a car payment. And that's because her credit score is low. And she told me she's fighting it, but she can't do it by herself. So she has asked me to assist her. And my company that I work with, pretty much we have a facility out in Michigan that we handle all of the credit issues out that's possible. Bankruptcies, liens, you name it, even student loans, they are being addressed by our company. And of course, myself being an agent, I'm also getting my credit worked on a continuous basis. And I had a number of problems. If you are an entrepreneur, you have some debt, because we take chances. From me stepping into this, for, you know, after 2 years ago starting that real estate investment company, and all my clients, no one could invest because they had the money, but their credit was bad, and they didn't understand what the leverage of partnering was. We lost a lot of those people because they weren't ready. And credit, I always say, is the big pink elephant in the corner in the room that no one wants to address. Once you get your credit in line, your credit allows you to move mountains, literally. You are worth more with $1 million worth of credit than $1 million cash, because you can leverage purchasing a home. You know, it just holds more. Now, don't get me wrong, I will take $1 million cash now. Let's not get this twisted.
Who wouldn't? Family, would you not take $1 million? Over?
I will take $1 million
in credit. Definitely. I think we always take the money and worry about the credit later on. Yeah.
But, you know, in all seriousness, it, you know, when I found out about it from one of my mentors, it was, it was like, wow, you know, we need to do this. And it's funny talking to people. It's about timing, and to me, it's always a good time to talk about credit and getting your finances in order. People are not thinking about having a will, power of attorney, a trust, living trust, healthcare proxy. People are not thinking about how their financial setup will look. How long will it take them to pay off that Amex card or that Visa card that they have? If they had a plan, they can know, okay, 2017, I'll be debt-free. And so these are some of the services, just in a quick nutshell, that we cover. It's not just about credit. It's about your entire financial makeup.
Beautiful.
What I love about it is that once you start getting into the real nook and cranny of this, you see that, okay, I need to fix this, or I need to work on this part of that. Or me as a single person with no kids, people don't think about this stuff. I need to, even if you don't think you need a will or a power of attorney, you do. Because something, God forbid, something happens to you, who is handling your affairs?
Correct.
What is in place for your children? I had a good friend and business partner. I gave her something called the Financial Literacy Challenge. And after she reviewed that, her score was so low, she said, if something was to happen to me today, God forbid, I feel like my son would be out in the middle of the street, like, just naked. Like, there's nothing for him right now. Because she didn't have anything in order. So, it just makes you think. It starts unlocking those chambers that we kind of close out because we're not sure what to do. And what I love about it is the education part of it. So not only are you working on all these things, but then we're also providing the information, which is so powerful for you to understand and learn about the do's and don'ts of finances that people don't realize that they're missing out on.
I want them to just be able, because all of this stuff, ladies and gentlemen, you can actually go on to the website and see it. It's there for you. So if you're logged on from your devices, I want you to check out the Credit Girl. That's with an S, thecreditgirl.com. And you'll go to the page. There you will find Alicia Goodridge and some information. Now, can they do the assessment on the page? Is it interactive where they can do some of those things? Or they have to contact you to do an assessment of service?
They have to contact me. Working on getting a way for them to do like a Survey Monkey or something like that. They could do it electronically, but right now I have it like in PDF form. I could email it to them or go over with them quickly. It's just 10 questions, literally that quick. You can find out where you stand and what you need to do, and that's what it's about. It's not about insurance, because I let the professionals handle that. This is about everything else outside of that, to just get things in order and to protect yourself and your family. And
it's a full range of financial services. So when she's talking about, it's not just credit, as she said, you have your advanced directive. They also provide advocacy, correct? Where if you need assistance in ironing out your credit, you can have someone to assist you with these things. Because it is really hard to tackle your credit. Some people take vacations just to sit and identify what their credit score is, getting their statements from different bureaus. That takes time. Calling, debating different things. So your company actually provides assistance in those areas, correct?
Yes, correct. That is correct.
Beautiful.
And what I love about our service is that we don't draw this out. It's a one-year program, and you're able to go in and you are a part of the process. So you see the letters that are going to the credit bureaus. You're signing them. They know that you're connected with it, and they're attacking everything one-shot deal. It's not one negative thing here, next month, so you drag out this whole thing for 2 or 3 years. We want to help you get to where you need to be. Everyone has goals, whether it's to pay off a student loan, whether it's to purchase that home, start a business. Guess what, entrepreneurs? If you do not have business credit, you start out with your personal credit. If your personal credit is not good, you're not going to get those loans like you really should be getting. It should be privy to. So we have to get our personal credit in order to do other things.
thank you for sharing. So again, listeners, that's thecreditgirls.com for more information about Alicia Goodrich and her services provided. Alicia, it's been a pleasure as always. I want to give our listeners your other sites where they can go and reference you. And you are actually on Facebook. You have a public page, and that's Alicia Goodrich, correct?
Yes, correct.
Awesome. So, family, you can Google her on Facebook. I believe you're also on LinkedIn.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Social media, Alicia Goodrich. Just put in Alicia Goodrich, and there you will get all of her information. And again, that page for financial services is thecreditgirls.com. I think we pretty much covered everything. It's been a pleasure. This is like the norm for us. We get to chatting and conversation just goes for hours if we allow it to. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, Ms. Goodrich.
Same here, Darlene. I thank you for allowing me to be a part of the DU Power Zone, and I'm excited for what's about to happen, what has already happened in 2015. You're making the Moguls event was great, and I look forward to all of the great things that are about to happen along with the book and everything else. So,
thank you so very much. Thank you. And on that note, I need to acknowledge an amazing team of Darlene's Utopia, just acknowledging all of the people that get up every day and are passionate about what they do to make Darlene's Utopia what it is. We're now 8 years in as an empowerment-based company providing quality services personally and professionally. The book is a year. We are at our annual also this April, so I'm excited about Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win with the peers that you've already lost. We're actually in the process, I'm in the process of relaunching Not Without a Fight, and we're just giving so much more. I've got great testimonies, great responses to the book, things that have really helped us to go on ahead and say, you know what? We can do it again a second time, and you guys are going to be in for a treat when it's done. And, of course, the making of Mogul 2, Let Your Brand Shine Through. Alicia, we are rearing up to 3, and we hope you will be a part of the whole cast. It's a cast because we're bringing not just good entrepreneurs, not moguls, but we bring out personalities. We put on a full show of entrepreneurship. And I know you're going to be a part of 3 because you have so much to give. And we need that. We need more of Alicia. So we're looking forward to you joining us for the making of Mogul 3.
Definitely, definitely. I look forward to it.
Awesome. And listeners, on that note, we bid you a good evening. Have a great day tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. Make it happen. This is the last day of April, April 30th. Get it in tomorrow. And we look forward to seeing you next week on The Power Zone. Be well, all.